This show is very not safe for work. The works being read do not represent the views of the hosts or guests. This show is a roast and should not be taken seriously.
When Poe starts to pull out, no other word to describe the sound. And Poe...
And that's one way to describe the sound. Please don't describe the sound anymore.
The year is 2015. The world is once again engulfed in darkness. It has been 100 years since the last appearance of the Castle of Fanfiction, and as the full moon rises over this accursed land, a vast silhouette of towers and spires materializes, its form spreading to the far horizon. Every harbinger of good begins to feel empty inside, while the forces of evil grow ever more in strength. The Castle of Fanfiction, a sprawling mass of stone housing the worst horrors mankind can imagine and beyond. For every time the castle has appeared, the Nighthorse clan has also come forward to send it back to the void. Within these walls, the powers of the light will challenge Hell's greatest creations. Will our brave warriors, Valerie, Logan, David, and Steve-O, hold the candle of humanity aloft after the battle? Or will the flame be snuffed out by the terrors within? The only sure thing about this encounter is that it is a Friday. Friday night fan fiction.
Read the title.
All right.
So this is totally before we all did the reading. This was totally planned, and I'm not recording it after we were all done, and I'm not asking Sam to do it with just me and him right now.
No, it's fine. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, jazz.
All right. This fan fiction is entitled No Lies by Hagwiggle. He bit her neck roughly, feeling her feathers dampen with sweat and spit. Hagrid licked her chest from its peak down to her navel, blowing down as her heartbeat quickened, heaving her chest out against his cheek. "Whoo," she began. "Whoo." Hedwig tried her hardest to control her moans, both Hagrid looking deeply into her eyes and tracing his way down to her entrance with his hot tongue. Yet another embarrassing "whoo" escaped her beak. She licked her beak, tasting the places where Hagrid had been mere moments before with ecstasy. She sank back into herself, lifting her wings up and caressing the spots she'd been bitten, each light pain making her groan and be a little more impatient for Hagrid to just get on with. No sooner had she thought of how long it was taking Hagrid than did she feel familiar wetness push inside of her, causing her to clench and arch her back, pressing Hagrid's tongue further inside. "Ooh," she called out, feeling her lover's tongue twist and push into all her crevices. She implored Hagrid to put his member inside her with a steady gaze dripping with lust. Fumbling with his breeches, Hagrid gruffly pulled at his sausage and rubbed its head with no tenderness. Spitting into his hand, he quickly covered it completely in his makeshift lube. Grabbing Hedwig's body, her tumbled her entrance and more open, and suddenly her thumbed her entrance.
Yeah, yes.
Her thumb, yes, almost had it. Her thumbed her entrance more and more open, and suddenly pushed inside until he was balls deep. Hagrid bellowed, his call resonating inside of Hedwig. He felt her pulse on his cock and started moving her body so that it moved counterclockwise atop him.
Why do we need to know the rotation?
It's really important. If you do it clockwise, it just kills the mood. I can't believe you've done this sort of level snafu. In case. Woo! Hedwig shouted again, eyes filled with lust and urgency. Come, Hedwig, come! Hagrid begged, nearing completion himself. Akio Hedwig! Asio? Yes, Asio Hedwig! Hearing Hedwig use the magic in the heat of the moment, Hedwig released all of her tension, letting herself ride out Hagrid, coming along with her. Don't worry about it. They're both female. Everybody's a woman. Everybody's a fucking girl. Anyway, slowing down, she caught some of his extra runoff with her wing feathers and lifted it to her beak, licking gently. Plucking herself off of him with ease, Hedwig fully put her wing inside her now stretched entrance, leaving Hagrid intrigued and ready for another go.
Oh, Frostbeard the Porn Master, this one's for you.
Alright, this is Culmination by Salmon Pink. Summary, it's Finn's first time, and it's overwhelming and terrifyingly incredible, and everything he could have ever asked for. Note, spoilers for The Force Awakens, set after The Force Awakens, written for all bingo...
And The Force Awakens.
And for Star Wars kink meme, prompt Finn/Poe, anything about the first time Poe fucks him, and how overwhelming and incredible Finn finds it. Okay, Finn's fingers grip at the sheets. His back bowed in his
What is
eyes.
With all the backs being, like, arched and bowed tonight?
They didn't know Al could arch her back.
Yes. Everybody is a bow and arrow. Fling.
Flip. He feels like he can't breathe. Every grasp rattling in his chest, too. Overwhelmed to hold the air within him. His hips try to rock back. But Poe's hands hold him still, firm and solid. Thumbs digging into Finn's waist.
Wait a minute, he can't breathe. Oh no, he's allergic to Egyptian silk. Quick, get the EpiPen!
Why did nobody tell him? Why did nobody explain that it could feel like this? Being connected with another person so completely, so intimately.
Oh, I see. Somebody got him res for the PS2 with the vibrating controller add-on.
He can hear himself babbling these ragged moans. Needy little moans spilling from him.
Noises,
shit.
Drink!
Noises! Hawk! Wee! Oh no, I'm not doing the owl. Not with what we just read.
Hoot hoot! Woo!
Now watch me stick my entire wing up into my opening. Don't want to think about that anymore.
No.
And the thing is, that author has written 13 more like that.
Oh, so he's like Shakespeare Hemingway, where it's all Garfield, but all Hedwig.
But it's all Hedwig and Hagrid.
Oh, that is pretty haggard.
Yeah.
He is the care of magical creatures teacher.
Still don't care.
Tender, loving care of magical creatures.
Please. Please, please. I've got you, Poe murmurs behind him, anchoring Finn, keeping him steady as Poe's hips roll forward. Whips with all the boat metaphors already. And the pressure of it. Poe's cock pushing further inside of him. It's indescribable. Finn feels stretched open, and he understands it now. Understands why Poe was determined to spend so many nights just working Finn looser with his fingers before he's even considered trying this.
He took out the bust of Abraham Lincoln's head and promptly shoved it up Finn's ass.
With and without
war score and 7 years ago.
Oh, I'm being emancipated right now.
We're about to form a more perfect union.
Bravo. Bravo.
Because it's so much more than Poe's fingers. So much more than anything Finn's ever experienced. The sense of fullness. Every one of his senses focused on Poe, like planets revolving around a sun.
Suddenly, Princess Rey floated by like a satellite. Beep.
In space. It's as if he's been waiting for this since the moment he met Poe. As if this is what everything has been leading up to. His eyes prickled with a strange and almost hysterical sense of relief.
Wait, can eyes actually prickle?
I don't know.
Twinkle? Either that or he's got
a terrible medical condition.
It's like prickle sounds like something that's painful, like getting pricked with a needle.
Got the worst cataracts in history.
So instead of putting his fingers up there, he put a cactus up his ass.
Oh, that's south of the border in multiple ways.
Because Finn gets to have this. It's his, and nobody can take this memory from him.
This may be smutty, this I know, but this is his memory. This is not our own.
Poe's hand strokes back, down his back, and Finn can't even bring himself to make a joke about being petted like a loth cat, because it feels so good.
Okay.
I'm so good.
Hey, Poe, it's over!
He relaxes into the touch and forces himself to take one deep breath his body is aching for. You ready? Poe asks, and his voice already sounds wrecked, rougher, and sexier than Finn's ever heard it.
You ready?
Finn wants to see his face, but he knows this is better on his elbows and knees with Poe behind him. Like this, he can focus on just sensation. If he could see Poe's expression on top of that, Finn's not sure he could control himself.
All right, you know, I'm sorry, but Finn and Poe, Huckleberry Finn and Edgar Allan Poe, that is what I am literally imagining.
Nevermore.
On the Mississippi River.
Yes. God, Poe, he rasps. And it's not the first time Poe's reduced him to begging, trembling mess.
Oh, he read the Mask of the Red Death.
But it feels like it may be as well.
May as well be. Fuck.
I'll just drink to that anyway. He whimpers. When Poe starts to pull out, no other word to describe the sound. And Poe...
And that's one way to describe the sound. Please don't describe the sound anymore.
To be perfectly honest, I don't remember how I made it, so I can't.
Good.
And Poe makes soft, shushing noises.
Shh, shh. Big boys don't cry.
He's moving so slowly, so carefully. But the drag of it still sends sparks shooting through Finn's body.
Well, he needs to get a spoiler. That'll alleviate the drag.
Poe only slides halfway out of him. But Finn feels every lost inch. Feels his body mourning for it. Wanting it back. Poe's hands are shaking slightly. Like he's fighting to keep himself still. Waiting so patiently until Finn moans. Please. And then Poe's fucking back into him. Not too hard. Not too fast. And it's perfect. And Finn needs more. His toes are curling. He's on the red team. There's sweat sliding down his neck and gathering in the hollows of his collarbone. Poe rocks into him. And Finn's dizzy with pleasure. Feeling every catch of slick skin against his rim. He has to roll up the rim to win. Feeling himself clenching down without his permission. And making Poe grow.
Oh, so he is playing with his Pacific Rim. I get it.
Can I request something?
Skyrim. It's the Star Rim. People, the Skyrim.
What's the request?
Can you say collarbone again?
Oh, geez, somebody's getting off the collarbone.
The way he said it was, I don't know, it caught my attention.
Do it again.
The gathering in the hollows of his collarbone. Is that it, Anna?
Yes, thank you.
There you go.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, now she's at, like, half chub, so.
Pretty much.
Those lady boners.
Oh.
More. I need, please. I need.
Suddenly, somebody slapped the bowl out of Oliver's hands.
See, now I'm just imagining Finn as Gollum.
More. He needs more. The precious just needs
or,
more.
Or no, it's Zoidberg after eating the last anchovies.
More.
The words keep falling out of him onto the floor and shattering, like the bowl. A lifetime of having nothing for himself until now. And suddenly Finn's found something strong enough to make him greedy. To make him plead for it over and over. Asking for it with his words. His body arching back as Poe fucks forward. Until Finn can't even form syllables anymore. Just begging noises and gasps.
Alright, so with the history they have given, I'm assuming that along with continuously stretching with the fingers that Poe had to constantly remind Finn, no, use your words, honey.
Why did nobody tell him that he could have this? And would Finn have believed them?
For $2.99, a KFC double down?
Before Poe came into his life and on his face.
And it is butthole.
But he has it now. And it's what? Overwhelming and terrifyingly incredible. And with everything he could have ever asked for. Because it's Poe. Because it's them. Because it's forever.
Oh, yeah, up until they decide to, you know, kill one of them off in one of the movies or something. I don't know.
Probably episode 8.
Spoilers!
Spoilers! As Finn gets descended into the carbonite chamber, Poe says, I love you. Finn says, I know. And then the carbonite fails and Finn dies.
The end.
The end.
Star Wars over.
All right, the next one, lack of sense. I am going to give you,
Okay.
There you go.
I have a bad feeling about this.
It's Mass Effect.
Oh, yay.
It's Fem, Shep, and Garrus. Have fun!
Truth is, the first time Shepard gets Garrus' clothes off, she's not quite sure how to react.
No!
This is FemShep.
It's whoever you want me to be, baby.
I'm imagining my own Shepard right now, so this should be interesting.
Sounds good. Half of her feels something protective. He looks frail, almost. That trim waist, the long, lean arms, and beautiful. The light catching on his plates and his inhuman curves like some kind of sculpture. She's so used to him with his heavy armor on, seeing him with his shoulders reduced, his impressive collar diminished.
Collarbone!
Gives her the urge to shield him. Teeth bared, rifle ready, defensive, and the smooth, sexless plates that curve between his thighs, almost another guard, living armor.
Oh, so it's like wearing a kimono, the antithesis of sexy body.
But the other half wants to put her hands on him, see if he's warm. If he has a fever.
See if he's been laying under the heating lamp all this time.
Feel his bared body under hers. Sexually, she doesn't know. She's aware of him, shifting his weight nervously. One three-fingered hand coming to grip the opposite forearm. His eyes on her expectantly. The hitch in his rich, dual-toned voice as he says, "See anything you like, Shepard?"
What are you buying?
What are you selling?
Awkward laughter as he halfway spreads his arms, takes one uncertain step towards the bed. Does he want her, she wonders? Or does he look at her, halfway stripped down, and wonder what the hell they're getting into?
Wait, how do you even have that many nipples, FemShep?
I'm half-cat.
She glances again at his strange alien body and then down at her own. at her gray utilitarian underwear.
That is the episode title for tonight.
Gray utilitarian
underwear.
Covering her breasts and crotch at his genitalless groin.
Oh, so they're just going to scissor the whole time. Beautiful. Oh, no, that last one, no. Oh, please get Gary's mod out of here.
Gary's mod.
Interspecies awkwardness thing starts to look too damn likely for her taste. But then he's at the mattress, pressing one knee down beside her, sinking it so she tips against him. She feels him, startling, fever warm against her skin as he lowers his head towards hers. She sees the sharpness of his teeth behind his mouth plates and mandibles, and she knows they'll never kiss, and she wonders if they'll have something else. She touches his forehead to hers, and she thinks they will.
So wait a minute, this is her discussing how sexy he is, like, sexless? What the hell? I mean, well, I thought I understood asexuality, but this throws my entire worldview into question.
He's got mandibles.
Ah, which mandibles.
It's impossible that they'll ever kiss. Imagine trying to kiss an ant.
Wasn't that in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh, no, now I'm sad again. Artex!
As traumatizing as a kid.
He discovers he has a strange, raspy tongue that makes her ticklish at first. And then sigh with pleasure later.
It felt like sandpaper, 200 grit.
It's like being licked by a cat on the genital.
Ow!
She discovers his fingers can fit inside her, hot and smooth, like some strange, jointed, bumpy metal toy. And she teaches him how to hit that spot. That one.
That okay, hitting that spot. Now I just have the Zelda game music in my head. Hit the bomb juice.
Use your slingshot to hit that spot. He discovers he likes the feel of her fingers under his fringe. And when she scrapes her teeth over his mandible, he shudders and moans and clutches her.
I can't stop laughing at the word mandible now.
Pretty good word.
Yes.
Collarbone. Astronauts.
Astronauts. Mandible.
Mandible.
Yes. He discovers the smooth plates protect his strange, almost unfurling cock. Never meant to fit inside her property. Too long, Sean too Connery stiff.
Reading
too
now?
Flexible all at once.
No, it's his brother, Daryl Connery.
That's close enough. But somehow they make it work. And she discovers that he'll giggle like a schoolgirl. Amanda Shepherd. As they clumsily fuck and he slips out for the third or fourth time and she was so fucking close, she can't help it. The look on his face is so so earnest, so fucking garish, that she's not even sure if she cares if anyone on the Normandy ever finds out. The thing is, they fit. If he can barely lie in her bed, with his strange curves and stiff carapace.
See, now, this is the face I'm imagining that Garrus is making right now.
Oh my god.
Forever that face.
Yes. For those without the visual, that's just the most intense
Steve-O stare. That is my
Steve-O.
Emoji for this pleases me.
Steve-O is looking into your soul.
This man is watching you poop and enjoying it. Oh, he disconnected. Aw, crap.
Oh, no.
Do you want to come back? Free Willy? Oh, have we read that? Have we read that as a group yet?
Free Willy?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Free Willy fan fiction?
Oh, yes. It's not erotic, but it's amazing.
Okay.
There are so many.
All right, you know what? Fine. I will read the Free Willy one. It is awesome, and it's short. But then I'll read another one, because this one's like maybe 100 words. All right.
Forgot you were there.
All right, technical issues. I'll just let Afro Bear finish.
The thing is, they fit. If he can barely lie on her bed with his strange curves and stiff carapace, she piles pillows for him, makes the bed fit him. if she aches after they sleep together in the worst places, places she didn't know she could ache, he's there to rub the analgesic lotion?
Analgesic. Analgesic.
Analgesic lotion.
It's like it's like a topical cream.
Whoa. Head on, applied directly to the forehead.
Oh no.
Top actin, synactin. Boom!
Boom! Now you see, this here is the alien's anatomy. Can't really approach it like a conventional defense because it doesn't have the normal penetration points.
It has mandibles. Boom!
Boom!
Again, to John Madden.
Soothes her, massaging her until she dozes contently. If he's confused by her breasts...
I think it's drowses.
Oh, drowses, my bad. If he's confused by her breasts, by her softness, by the way she wants to put her mouth in places he thinks mouths were never meant to be.
Just imagine those mandibles looking up from between your legs.
Oh, God.
It's like the Predator.
Mandibles.
Clack, clack.
He still moans and tears into the blankets and startles himself by coming under her soft. Coming under her soft human attentions. Maybe he doesn't have a human fetish. Maybe she'd never care to fuck another Turian. It doesn't matter. When she sees him now, beautiful and bare, eyes searching her face, she wants him like nobody else.
Wouldn't that be at the beginning of this? Like, she's already had him. How can you still want somebody that you... fuck it, never mind.
Storyboarding's really hard, okay? Putting together multiple scenes so that they make sense.
Also, thanks for the Predator porn! I didn't need to see that. Free Willy, Champion of the Sea, by Andy Prosser. Decadated to my friend Josh when his DeviantArt got hacked. Chapter 1, Clint is missing. Oh, wait, I should probably link you guys so you can read along with me.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
good
idea.
Yeah, maybe.
Free Willy, there. Free Willy patrolled the ocean. It was been a whole week since the ship crashed into a sea monster and make it sink. Over 400 people were killed. Free Willy looked for the missing little boy, Clint, who was heard about in the news. Suddenly, Free Willy hears a cry. It was a sad cry with emotion. It was the little boy, and he was about to got eat by the monster. Chapter 2, Showdown.
Such a cliffhanger.
You put that boy down now, said Free Willy. Who is going to stop me? Said the monster. So Free Willy used his telekinesis.
Yeah.
His multiple telekinesis.
Yes, all 17 of them. To talk to the other fish and attack all at once. But the sea monster ate them all and got more powerful to transform into a shark sea monster.
Oh no!
Before it was just nondescript. Now it's a shark and nondescript. No.
I am going to eat Clint, said the shark sea moonsetter.
Can we get his next line as Homestar?
That's what you think, cocksuckle. Oh no, I'm sorry. There's no comma there. That's what you think, cocksuckle. And Free Willy charges a laser attack, and the shark drowns.
No!
Charging up the laser attack. He doesn't hit him with it, he just charges it.
Oh my god! Thank you, Free Willy! Said Clint.
It's no problem. I'm just glad you're okay, said Free Willy, and he swims away.
Free Willy, don't leave me! You're my best friend!
Don't worry, Clint. I am going away a long time to train. You are always in my heart. And Free Willy swims away.
No! Come back! Free Willy!
I'm gonna miss you, Free
okay.
Willy.
And now I have legitimate tears in my eyes like I just won an Oscar.
That reminds me of the Batman vs. Echo the Dolphin one I found.
Oh, jeez.
That's
oh,
thing.
No.
Wait.
That was a great one.
That was great. See if I can find that one.
All right, here's the next one, and I'll read this one quickly, because apparently we have yet to touch The Walking Dead, but we're about to.
Yay.
I don't really want to touch that.
I like the when this fits in the timeline, because I have no idea.
I love that. This is the best tag ever. Don't ask me when this fits in the timeline, because I have no idea.
Followed by playful sex.
And plot one plot, turn without plot.
At least they're honest.
All right. As tightly as you held onto me by choking on their halos. Would you just... God, you're such a bastard. They laugh helplessly into each other's... Hold on. Wind it back. Take one down, pass it around. Let's try this again. They laugh helplessly into each other's mouths while failing to actually kiss. Okay, now it makes sense. Time's gone slow and a little funny, like Sunday mornings used to feel. They'd found a bed that had been miraculously raccoon and mouse free and stumbled into it, ready to take full advantage of their good luck. They didn't mention mantis shrimp, so there are swarms of mantis shrimp all over the bed. But Rick's being such a... Daryl's breath stutters out of him, silent, like Silent Hills, but then that got canceled, when Rick brushes the head of his cock.
The hills are truly silent now.
Yes.
Rippin' pepperoni.
Rippin' Pan's Labyrinth.
Rippin' creepy pasta.
When Rick brushes the head of his cock over Daryl's opening... Again, without actually putting any pressure behind it. Rick
again,
mouths
again.
Again, Daryl.
Keep it in your pants, man.
Rick mouths along his jawline. Mandibles. Until he finds the sensitive dip behind Daryl's ear. And Daryl whines quietly. Can I get little puppy moans, please? Okay. Fucking beautiful, guys. Arching his neck. But fucking arching!
More arching. Take a drink.
What the, I'm not doing this shit on purpose!
More human anatomy turned into bows. Take a drink.
Arching.
Finally a use for the ropes of cum.
I am death, destroyer of ropes of cum. All right. Arching his neck and tilting his hips up, looking for relief. There's a rhythm being built back up again. Daryl's world narrows to strange little snatches of sensation. The feeling of their legs sliding against each other, the little tug when his hair catches for a second in Rick's beard. A flash of heat when his dick rubs against Rick's stomach.
Oh yeah. Wait, your belly button.
If your dick gets a flash of heat by touching somebody's stomach, you probably have a venereal disease. You should get that looked at. The raccoons should not be fucked. I have dick rabies. Everything's starting to melt back into so much enough. Sorry, that almost felt English. I apologize to the nation of Japan. And Rick feels like a wall of heat down his front. Daryl drags his hands mindlessly up and down Rick's back, half admiring the feeling of his muscles shifting smoothly, half desperate just to touch. He has half a second to wonder why he can feel Rick smirking before there are fingers digging into his ribs again. All right, does somebody else... Mana, do you want to finish this one for me?
No, I want to read the one that Sean posted.
Oh, fine. Daryl yelps, surprised, into choking on his laughter when Rick rededicates himself to tickling him. The asshole's sniggering into Daryl's neck, ignoring Daryl's feeble attempts to kick him. Eventually,
I don't like that word. Sniggering.
Sniggering?
It sounds so much
Sounds too much like something else I shouldn't say.
What, snickerdoodles?
Sure, yes. Why not?
I mean, they're delicious, but...
I could go for a snickerdoodle right now. Eventually, Daryl finds the coordination to punch him in the arm hard, and Rick lays off again. You son of a bitch! Daryl wheezes too out of breath to sound as pissed as he wants to. Sorry, Rick says. He kisses Daryl's collarbone! There's some.
Are we sure the title of tonight isn't collarbone?
Collarbone and arching collarbone. Arching motherfucking collarbone.
Utilitarian underwear.
I didn't do this. I don't know what's going on. I have no idea if I'm still asleep, if this is the Matrix, if this is the Truman Show. This is fucking scary. But Daryl can still feel him smiling. No, you're not. Daryl says, exasperated, but you will be if you don't hurry up and fuck me already. Is that so? Rick hums non-committal. He bumps their hips together just enough to tease, but then fractures the hips. They're actually, what is it? Oh God, what's that G word for old people?
Geriatrics.
Grandpa?
Geriatrics, that's the word. Gentrification, whatever. I'll make you regret it, Daryl says, scowling. Rick just kisses him on the tip of his nose in response. Holy shit, this is long. All right, I am passing this off to somebody else to finish. Who wants to do it? Afro Bear, you only got half a story at first. You want to do this?
So I got another half a story, all right.
Yeah, there you go. You're the closer. This is baseball. I need a drink.
I'm scared, but all right. Daryl makes a noise of disgust at the level of sap he's being bombarded with, and opens his mouth to complain, loud and long. But all that comes out in a strangled gasp when Rick picks that moment to slide into him with one smooth thrust. How's that then? Rick asks, sounding gratifyingly breathless. Oh wait, he sounded breathless. Shit.
You got to start off at the best part.
I get the sex. Yeah. Thanks, Devo.
You're welcome. After like 5 weeks of not having it and then having it, now I'm feeling inundated and I want the not sex again.
No, never. You must have all of the sex now.
I think Steve-O's broken.
Collarbone. Arching.
Oh no, it's starting to arch. Daryl decides not to dignify that.
She's probably a doctor.
Yeah, probably. And instead gets a good grip on the back of Rick's neck and pulls him down for a kiss. It goes on a little longer than Daryl intended, going dirty and sloppy in all the best ways.
So like sewage?
Kiss on the mouth, or what's going on?
It's a really dirty kiss, man. They're getting all of the fluids in there.
Have you ever seen that show with Mike Rowe? It's that.
That's how you get pink eye.
That's how you get pink everything.
There's too much spit, and Rick's sucking on his tongue and biting on his lip.
Oh, God, no. I've had somebody do that, and it hurt for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, it felt like she was about to rip the tongue out of my mouth.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe that's why my tongue looks a lot longer now. It sort of severed that thing.
Like Daryl's the best thing he's ever tasted. Jeez, you might want to get out more.
I mean, when you're surrounded by beds with raccoons in them.
Alright, fair point.
Mantis shrimp.
Mantis shrimp.
One angry walrus.
Angry... Oh, is there two Angry Beavers fanfic? I gotta find that.
Sure there is.
He made the same sound a couple of nights back when Daryl let him get his tongue up Daryl's ass. Wait,
and he hasn't Daryl brushed his teeth since, hence the dirtiness.
Ah, when he gets let him get his tongue up Daryl's ass. Okay. Daryl shudders as the sense memory washes over him, making the hair on his arm stand on end for a second. They want to get out of this fic too.
What's going on right now?
Please let us out.
Daryl pulls back, tilting his head to the side when Rick chases him and says, "I wasn't kidding when I told you to fuck me, you know." All right, well, Rick drags his mouth over Dale's cheekbone and makes a nonsensical sound that Dale doesn't even kind of understand. But Rick's finally pulling his hips back and bracing himself on the bed, so he lets it go. From there, Rick finally stops screwing around. Wait, I thought that's what they were doing. They were screwing.
What?
He gets a grip on Daryl's hips with one hand and tilts them to just the right angle. The one that has Daryl... tilt.
Daryl just locks up and doesn't move anymore.
Well, we're going to be here for the rest of the night. The one that has Daryl biting down the curve of Rick's shoulder to muffle the sounds he can't stop making. Daryl rakes his nails down Rick's back, scrambling for something to hand onto, and Rick arches his back into the sensation and bites down on the hammering pulse point in Daryl's neck in retaliation. That bastard is still laughing under his breath, and Daryl would ask him what was so goddamn funny, except he's a little preoccupied. Yeah, you're getting fucked. Why are you laughing? Fairly quickly, Daryl has to let go of Rick to brace himself on the wall above the bed so he doesn't crack his head against it. Jesus, calm down. It gives him the leverage to screw his hips back into Rick's, though, and they both moan obnoxiously at the feeling.
Oh!
I was thinking the same thing.
Are they having sex right now or fighting?
I think they're still tickling each other.
With the scratching and the biting and leverage. And
they're slowly getting knocked out.
They're slowly turning into zombies as they fuck.
They were both bit.
Collarbone!
What? What? There's no necrophilia tag on here.
Necrophilia!
No!
No!
Biting the shoulder, the collarbone. Some pulsing spot.
I was saying boo urns.
For all the buildup Daryl's been subjected to, it's over pretty quickly. Fast and Dirty is something of a specialty of theirs.
What's with the dirt?
I mean, it is The Walking Dead, so.
Oh, yeah.
Zombies. Apocalypse. Now.
Yeah, they gotta get their quickies in, or otherwise the zombies will kill them. Daryl comes first, with one hand wrapped lightly around his dick, almost too sensitive to stand the calluses.
Ugh. This man knows what it's like to jerk off as a guitarist.
No?
Is it worse than a cat's tongue?
Probably. Not having experienced a cat's tongue, I couldn't tell you.
He whimpers through it, Rick not letting up for a moment. Everything feels hot and like too much for the next dozen thrusts while Rick chases his own orgasm. Come back! Until Daryl fists a hand in Rick's hair and yanks! And Rick pulls out in a hurry, spilling over Daryl's thigh. He collapses onto his side next to Daryl, panting and, at long last, no longer laughing. It's quiet, God, except for their breathing, slowing back to normal. After a minute, Rick sighs in satisfaction, eyes going half-lidded while he wonders about taking a nap before getting back to the group. Daryl half turns towards him, expressing quite serious, and says, "For the record, you're still an asshole."
Rick turns around and says, "I am what I eat."
Daryl climbs off the bed and starts hunting around for his pants, while Rick, the loon, giggles into the mattress. And that's it.
I'm tiny Rick!
That's why it was so quick.
Yeah, Rick and Daryl, 100 years.
100 years.
100 years.
All right, Mana, you said you wanted to read the one that Sean posted?
Batman and Echo the Dolphin.
Good.
Oh my god, please read the description.
There actually isn't a description.
No, it's right under their name.
I'm not seeing it on mine. I have the fic brought up on my iPod, actually, so maybe I'm just not seeing it.
Oh, okay.
Bummer. Yeah. If you can see it, you can read it. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it's really short. It just says, "Sometimes I imagine I'm drunk. I don't drink."
Also, this one's super short. Do you want another one to follow it up?
There's two chapters as well.
Oh, you're right.
Well, this one's still short. Do you want another one to follow it up?
It's literally 184 words.
Yeah. I'll find something.
Oh, okay.
I posted an Animorphs fanfic.
Yeah, I saw that.
One day, Batman was on the beach. It was his day off, and he was just chillin'. He decided to go for a swim in the water because sand was hard to swim in. As he was in the water, he saw a dolphin. It wasn't just any dolphin, it was Echo, the dolphin.
Ah!
Oh, shit.
Batman didn't even care because he was so hungry and wanted to eat some fish legs. So what? Batman swam to the ocean depths and confronted Echo.
Can I just note they spelled Echo wrong?
They spelled Echo wrong. They spelled confronted right, and then spelled didn't with three D's.
Yeah, hilariously enough, they actually they tagged Bruce Wayne / Batman and Echo spelled right. So when they wrote, uploaded, they saw the right spelling and just said fuck it.
Sometimes I imagine I'm drunk.
Get in my belly, said Batman. Said the Batman. Nah, replied Echo the Dolphman.
Dolphman?
I have a feeling of Dolph Lundgren for some reason.
Dolphman. What the fuck?
Dolphman!
With the power to Dolph.
And with a swift tackle, Batman lunges at Echo and misses because Echo is a dolphin and can swim fast. While Batman
gotta swim fast! Gotta swim fast!
Okay, but does he have the best morals?
Wait. While Batman is a shitty human bat hybrid thing, what is anyway?
Oh, we've got an Echo the Dolphin fan in here.
Haha, you missed, laughed Echo. Batman then threw an underwater batarang and hit Echo. Ugh. Echo exclaimed in pain.
Oh, jeez, this escargot is just so ugh.
Ugh.
Yeah. He's disgusted with the excruciating pain he's
feeling. Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh.
Ugh.
Echo then shot a water ball. Echo then shot a water ball, parentheses, yes.
Yes!
He can do this.
Flung backwards. There's a lot of double letters in this, and I don't like it. As Batman got the fuck up, he, bang, Batman shot Echo.
Something that Batman never uses is guns, and he uses it on Echo.
Yeah, because he's a dolphin.
Dolphins are dangerous and smart.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they are the Earth's greatest predators.
Whoa.
And very rapey.
Yep.
All right, good luck reading this.
Oh, God. What language is that?
It's a, it's...
poorly romanized Japanese.
Japanese.
Yeah, it looks like Japanese, but I...
Dolphin Time Reza.
Dolphin Time Reza.
Dolphin and whale.
Dolphin Time Reza.
Dolphin Time Reza.
Reza.
Why the Reza? The Reza. The Reza and the...
Reza and the Gizzo. Reza and the Gizzo.
He throws Rizzo from Greece at Batman. Echo then tackled Batman and used his
the word again.
The Dodongo. Just the Dodongo.
And maybe
the dong. Batman.
Maybe killed Batman? Oh no.
Maybe.
And maybe killed Batman.
We don't know.
Dolphin Time Laser. We never know. The end?
Continue.
I looked out my window.
Hey, I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna look and see if they made a sequel.
Okay. I did have a Attack on Titan fic pulled out if you want to read something and get your 1,000 words in.
Oh, sure.
And there you go. What a catch! Something very apt to follow. Frickin' Dolphin Time Laser. Dolphin Time Laser sounds like something that would be in Treadmillosaurus Rex.
I'm not surprised.
Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, wait. God, it's a daddy kink.
Oh, boy, oh, boy, oh, boy.
Well, you that's
my favorite.
This is making up for every week we missed smut.
I'm going to start looking up the dad jokes right now.
Oh no.
Oh, jeez.
Summary for this, too.
Go ahead.
He is giving Levi an intimate sort of power over him that has nothing to do with incest and everything to do with putting his entire well-being in Levi's hands. Leave it to Aaron to do it in the weirdest fucking way possible.
How would it have anything to do with incest? They're not related.
Exactly, that's why it says it has nothing to do with incest.
So that must mean it has everything to do with incest.
Somebody's gonna become related.
The Japanese always find a way.
They always find a way.
It's like Ori Emo.
After reading Daddy Dearest, I just don't even wanna.
Life finds a way?
Life finds a way.
It slips out of Aaron's mouth between each low-pitched, pleading whisper that he breathes into the wood of Levi's desk, where he's bent over, pert ass up, as Levi fucks into him with slow and steady precision.
Okay, fanfic train is out of the gate and running from the first couple of words. Wow! Why couldn't we get
by
this
the way, they're fucking hard.
Why couldn't we get this with Bucky Barnes, Steve Rogers, Dawson's Creek?
Because we picked for the wrong years. Thing!
Don't worry, Steve-O, I sent something in that would make up for that.
Oh, no!
Levi can tell by the unconscious way Aaron grinds back into each thrust, the way he doesn't miss a single beat in Levi's slow fucking, that Aaron isn't aware of what exactly had slipped out of his mouth. Anytime Aaron had said anything or made a noise that embarrassed him, Levi would feel it. Aaron's body is brutally honest that way. When he was flustered during sex, his body would flush with color and tighten exquisitely around Levi.
I get it, Titan. An attack on Titan.
Ah!
Oh my god! That was amazing.
Aaron hadn't done any of that. Instead, he continued to push back against Levi, unaware of what had slipped out of his mouth. Levi had heard it. Keeping his pace even, dick slipping in and out of the wet heat of Aaron's ass, Levi does nothing, for the moment, to let on that he has suddenly become privy to a kink Aaron had obviously been hiding as the boy groans, hands clenching and unclenching desperately against the edge of the desk. Months of fucking and Aaron had never once uttered the word before. Levi gives him a particularly deep prodding as punishment. Aaron gasps his name, the sound going right to Levi's dick, and throws his hand back.
Gary Busey!
Gary Busey approves.
Oh fuck, I lost my place.
Drink.
That's a drink. It's the mind games that get you.
Grasping Levi's forearm hard enough, his blunt nails bite into the skin there. It distracts Levi momentarily from his thoughts, and he drives into Aaron harder, losing his controlled pace.
Wait, drives into Aaron? What car and model, and how badly did he kill him?
67 Apollo.
Oh, okay. That's
cool. Oh.
And he, losing his controlled pace in favor of frenetically fucking into tight heat.
Bonus points for the word frenetically. Somebody studied the SATs.
He really can't get enough of the way Aaron's body spasms, the way his thighs tremble with the effort of staying bent over.
My darling, I can't get enough your spasms, babe.
Levi himself groans at how the boy's voice comes out in wrecked moan, his ass slapping lewdly against Levi's upper.
Alright, everybody, backhand clap. Backhand clap. Oh, shit, by the way, Magfest, that was a thing. Whenever there was, like, fucking and slapping going on, the entire audience did this. It was amazing.
I'm sad that I missed that
part.
Oh,
no, that was fucking Katsukan, never mind.
No, we did it at MAGFest too.
MAGFest also did it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, apparently it will continue to be a thing.
Well, I'll make it a thing at Detour Studio.
Yes.
Aaron moans that word again, and Levi slows his pace to shallow thrust, smirking at the disappointed whine Aaron lets loose.
Val, I can hear the game in the background.
Sorry.
Turn it down, please.
I did.
Thank you.
Living the life he had, Levi has been on the receiving end of every name under the sun, but no one had ever called him Daddy, inadvertently or otherwise.
Daddy!
Daddy!
That mandible.
Oh, God.
Dad, can I get an allowance?
No, son, Daddy. You just gotta keep sucking that dick Daddy. There.
He watches Slid Ayo. Back and forth, fucking himself on Levi's cock, and Levi tries to process how exactly the word affects him. He knows Aaron isn't calling out for his father. He knows he isn't using Levi's lower half to imagine his old man pushing into him. Fuck! Daddy! Aaron Keene's panting, laying his cheek on the desk. He looks perfect like that, eyes shut, mouth open, and ass up.
No! No! Oh,
I hate you.
This is the worst Father's Day barbecue ever! Nobody wants those kinds of hot dogs!
You sure?
Chili dogs? Where? Right here, who Sonic, right on my pants.
Way past cool.
Oh,
Uncle Chuck.
You know what? I don't think anybody would put chili on their cock to have Sonic come lick it off. Although maybe I am underestimating Krez.
You are.
Shit.
Nah, I think you're underestimating Tails at that point. A curl of lust twists inside Levi, the way Aaron says it, innocuous and filthy, has nothing to do with Grisha Yeager. He is giving Levi an intimate sort of power over him that has nothing to do with incest and everything to do with putting his entire well-being in Levi's hands. Leave it to Aaron to do that in the weirdest fucking way possible.
Wait a minute, exactly, did they just use the summaries?
That was the
summary. Yes.
Brilliant. 10 out of 10.
Like when they put the episode title in the episode.
Isn't that a drink?
Sure. You don't need to make excuses to drink with me.
It's
the one right going above on. The girl with the Frankenstein tattoo.
I put it in again. It's the last one.
Daddy, thank you.
Daddy. Levi tests the word in his head and finds he likes the way the boy says it more. He folds himself along Aaron's back, resting his chin on his shoulder. Aaron, the boy makes a sweet, lazy noise in acknowledgement. Do you want Daddy to fuck you? The word isn't erotic on his tongue and comes out a bit stilted, not at all like the horny way Aaron had moaned it. The younger soldier stiffens and color floods his face as his eyes wrench open in panic. Levi would laugh at the instantaneous reaction if Aaron's ass wasn't gripping his dick so hard it makes him dizzy.
Jesus.
Oh, now it's cutting off circulation.
Oh, God, so it's blood.
It's autoerotic asphyxiation.
He's
gonna
all of my
die
blood.
Like David Carradine.
Auto dick asphyxiation.
No. Oh, halfway?
Yeah, about halfway.
Two-thirds.
We're doing lots for one.
Yeah, it's halfway through the one page.
Right after.
We're
right
doing
after.
Lots of short ones.
You will find it. Search for Aaron had moaned it.
Why'd you find multiple results for that?
He sucks in a breath to calm himself, biting into Aaron's shoulder to keep from thrusting into him. Levi hates repeating himself, but he makes an exception for this moment. Tell me, he swirls his tongue against the angry red mark his teeth have left behind.
Do you want Daddy to fuck you?
The boy groans and his insides loosen before tightening again. Levi knows he wants it, knows that if he reaches around and grabs Aaron's dick, it would be hard and leaking with want. He doesn't, though, because they have a system. They have to come at the same time.
Daddy wouldn't approve of anything else.
The master would not approve of coming at different times.
Now he's got arched knees.
Whatever Daddy wants.
This is so unsettling.
Aaron finally says, dragging the word out on a long roll.
Yes!
Fuck me, Daddy!
Fuck me, Daddy!
That was creepy.
Oh, man, I just imagined Mini Shake.
Daddy! Fuck me, Daddy!
I'm 4,000 years old!
I'm so dirty for reading.
Yay, I'm going on an adventure. Daddy, put your cock in me.
I'm a sheriff.
What?
Steve-o.
What?
Homestar.
Do I have to
do it as Homestar?
I'm doing this under protest. I really, really don't like this. Fuck me, Daddy.
Girl, my
childhood is dead. It's dead on the floor, just like Strongman's trunk door cabinet.
At least it died what it loved doing. Thanks, fucked.
I'm sad that he's fucking.
Do it!
I already did it!
No, replace Daddy with Pop Pop.
Pop-Pop. No, fuck no, keep reading.
I believe there is fucking indeed.
I'm not replacing Daddy with Papa. No Bubbles and Bubble will do this.
How about Strong Bad?
Oh my goodness, just read! I will...
Shit. Levi feels his dick twitch inside of Aaron.
No, no.
Levi feels his dick twitch inside of Aaron. He really is a pervert. Pulling his cock almost all the way out, Levi waits for Aaron's disappointed whine before pushing it back in with a solid snap of his hips. They groan in unison. Levi lays his head on Aaron's back, drives himself in and out of the wet heat around his dick, and he fucks with abandon. Aaron
shouts below. Wait, with reckless abandon? Or just regular abandon?
Just regular abandon.
Just regular old abandon. Not too crazy. Aaron shudders below him, rocking in time with uneven pace. Levi sets. There's a word missing there. He is too close with uneven pace. Levi sets. There should be a thought in there.
He's jerking off to this. To Aaron getting off to Daddy.
Daddy! We've entered one hand mode.
That is a huge thing in Attack on Titan fandom, which creeps me out.
Yeah.
A lot. Because there's like a 20-year difference there.
Yeah. We don't talk about that.
Just keep going.
He's too close for any semblance of control to take hold. It doesn't help that every other pant, every other moan, Aaron begs him, harder, Daddy! Faster, Daddy!
Harder, Daddy! Faster,
Daddy!
Don't bring Daft Punk into this. Daft Punk is sacred.
Is there a Daft Punk fanfic? We need to find
yes,
one.
Yes, there is. There's a Daft
Punk. Alright, just finish the damn story.
It's one of my favorite ones. How do you want it? Levi asks, breathing ragged as he tries
medium
to
well, lettuce, tomatoes, onions, barbecue.
I was gonna say scrambled.
Fuck your breakfast.
A side of ranch dressing.
On his back, jiggling.
And at the same time, Daddy's cum, the keening noise that the Aaron lets out almost sends Levi into a very unwanted premature ejaculation.
I get it, because he's 16.
A blush creeps its way up Aaron's neck and across his face. Inside, he pants. I want you to come inside. Levi reaches around, sliding his hand along the stiff, sticky flesh of Aaron's dick, and jerks him off in rhythm to his thrusting. Who is heavily breathing?
Who's getting off to this?
I turn.
Yeah, what are you doing next?
Daddy! A harsh mouth as he comes hard inside of Aaron. The younger male stiffens with his own release, Levi's name tumbling out of his mouth on a long whine. They pant in sync, both trying to draw in much-needed calming breaths. Levi's head rises and falls with each breath Aaron takes. Daddy, huh?
Every breath you take, daddy, 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 daddy. Every move you make, daddy, daddy, daddy.
Daddy, daddy, daddy.
So the whole.
Every step you take.
So now, whenever you hear the song.
Daddy's watching you.
Yeah, well, no, whenever you hear the song, just imagine the guitar, like, the guitar is just saying, daddy, daddy, daddy.
See, the whole time, I was, like, really afraid he was gonna get, like, a tear or something.
Yeah.
And then, like, he would just turn into a titan.
Yeah, yeah. It didn't go in that direction. Kind of disappointed.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know why, but I feel like having chocolate pudding.
I'm going to see if I can find...
No, it. No.
Titan Aaron.
Are we done? Did we do it?
It's a trap.
Yes, done. I'm done.
Yay!
It's over!
All right,
next fic.
Stream of consciousness sort of Kamen Rider fic that also involves Captain America.
Okay.
Captain America and Kamen Rider.
Put it in the chat.
All right, I will repost it in the chat because it got buried under a while back.
Just like my libido.
Yep.
This does not have sex in it, I will say that.
That's okay. Neither did Free Willy Champion of the Seas.
That's true. And that was
for the long fic.
Or the long fic, yes.
It has sex.
Chapter 1. The True Beginning. Parting of Friends. So, OMG, you guys, I had like 3 days off because of this fucking flu thing going around, and then I had my weekend, and I barely could move from the bed, even to the couch, so I lay there miserably in Marathon Kamen Rider America. It is so good, you guys. America. Seriously. Fuck you would it. Not think a Kamen Rider series about the embodiment of America would be so great, but then again, who remembers Deno, and how Bandai would not let it fucking die? Okay, so I'm gonna take you guys down with me, and please excuse because I'm still pretty much hacking up along or whatever, but Kamen Rider America, it's always capitalized because Japan, last year's Kamen Rider entry. If you've been around here, you've heard me explain the basic idea behind Kamen Rider, but if you just came in, basically, Kamen Rider has the same themes, wildly different plots every year. Like, Kamen Rider Kabuto was about alien invasions and identity theft.
And Deno was about... Identity theft?
And Deno was about, I don't remember, but multiple personalities or something. Finding yourself, marrying a sister and brother. Whoa. So on and so forth. Kamen Rider Wizard was about powering through awful shit, which... Oh, not these things again. Which 1,000,000% explains why I didn't watch more than 3 episodes of that shit. Because can you say embarrassment, Squick? Yes, you can.
Next time on Kamen Rider, our hero deals with bullshit at the DMV.
Oh. Actually, there. I'm going to save that for another time, because there might actually be something relevant to that.
All right.
Okay, so I'm not going to talk about different Kamen Rider series because I can do this for days. Anyway, like the Sentai series that is basically its conjoined twin, Kamen Rider always has the same ideas but entirely different plots. Sentai series are always team-based and Kamen Riders are usually more fighter plus backup team.
Is this going to be on the test?
Yes. They always have this giant, hilariously huge belt and they always yell Henshin and they always make this pass with their hand over
Henshin.
Their
clock. Shibutabitachi Henshin.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
Did you write this?
No, I did not.
I did not do it. It's bullshit.
I did not.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Kamen. How is your ride these days?
They always make this pass over with their hand over their crotch that reduces me, even sober, to hilarity and making the cat wake up and scramble away from me like, what is that noise you're making?
Fuck your cat.
It's pretty fucking gay is what I'm saying. Anyway, Kamen Rider America is set in America, or at least a Japanese idea of America. Specifically
also America Town!
Each hamburger's Apollo.
Yes. Specifically a Brooklyn where there's a lot of sushi places and also a kitsune shrine. I got nothing. It's like Phoenix Wright where you're nodding... It's like Phoenix Wright where you're nodding slowly like, sure, LA. Sure. It doesn't really matter because like most Kamen Rider series, literally 78% of the action takes place in abandoned warehouses and quarries or docks. I don't even know where they can set off fireworks with impunity or whatever. Cool guys don't pay attention to explosions behind them is their idea.
True fact.
The story opens with Steve Rogers. I will leave the idea of how a tiny, dyed, blonde Japanese dude manages to say Steve Rogers to the imagination of the reader. Bravely punching... Bravely punching bullies in the face as one does. This dude, he's like 4'5". Even for a Japanese idol factory dude, he's pretty funky fucking twinky, guys. Like, you know Ono Satoshi from Arashi?
No.
He looks butch next to this kid. He also has super obvious blue contacts and is wearing like twice what he makes in Japanese fashion brands, because why not, even though he allegedly lives in a shack above a sushi shop run by a black guy who speaks Kansai Ben? I'm super torn because the guy who plays Sam Wilson is super hot, but on the other hand, Japan and black people, this is going to end the best. Anyway, Sam Wilson is a sushi genius, I guess? Someone got bored and did a lot of CGI sparkles when he cuts the fish or whatever, and I may have been super high on cough syrup at that point. Anyway, he's always feeding Steve and yelling Kansai Ben, which, whatever. So Steve is, like, getting the shit beat out of him, and Bucky Barnes, played by this season's current cool guy, whose name I cannot remember, but I believe has a guy group thing going on somehow. Yes, he and the dude who plays Steve do, in fact, sing the damn ending. Do not look them up. They are, I'm gonna call that 100,000,000% fan service. 1,000,000,000% of the time.
I'm sorry, I broke everybody.
I'm not sure. Okay, I was like tabbing back into Discord to see what broke everybody, and it. Well, yep, that'll do it. Okay. That is worthy. Okay. Okay.
Let's recollect ourselves.
That's a beautiful.
What did I come in
1,000,000,000% of the time, and you probably have shame left, unlike me. For instance, they totally did a carnival photo shoot that includes photo booth pictures of dude who plays Bucky Barnes laying a big wet one on the dude who plays Steve Rogers' cheek.
What the shit?
Anyway, so like Bucky Barnes totally punches these dudes out and lectures Steve, and Steve does this hilariously twinkie pout thing and insists he had them, and I set up as best I could and seal clapped weakly. Then I had to pause and cough like a consumptive heroin, not heroin addict, a heroine, as in a female hero,
yes.
For like 10 minutes, but I soldiered on. Winter soldiered on. Yes.
I think we've had too much Bucky recently.
You Buckied on.
I think we need to buck the trend.
Alright, I want these puns to kick the bucket.
Oh no.
Waka.
Just let me finish. What I am trying to say here is that this scene is hilariously heterosexual and you should feel the straightness of these two dudes.
No!
I have never in the life ever considered anything but manly friendship for each other, and now my lungs hurt when I laugh too hard.
It's okay. Hilariously heterosexual.
Stares in Japanese.
Then it turns out there's some sort of war going on. The subtitles were good, but I was distracted trying to figure out when they were literally going to kiss. Sorry. Exposition, like, why are you always like this, Steve? And Steve is saying he can't bear that Bucky is going to war without him. This was the point that I laughed so hard the cat left. And then there was...
Wake me up when Steve Rogers ends.
And then there was the exposition dude in the opening. The opening is a work of art you should totally download. Like, I literally have never seen so many CGI flags and manly jaws in my life.
Where your commentary ends and the story begins.
Madness.
So after the opening, Bucky leaves for the war. It's apparently assumed that America is at war with unspecified groups at all times for no reason at all. And frankly, I can't even argue. And Steve gives him a manly hug. snicker. Manly. Goodbye. Then he moves slowly off, and in case you were as into the dude who plays Bucky as I am sad to report he shows up in flashbacks only for at least 30 episodes, but at least Steve has won at least every two episodes. I'm telling you, these guys are heterosexual like penguins.
Heterosexual
like the penguins.
Like, please keep going.
There are gay penguins as well.
There are, actually.
We looked this up after I read this before, so yes. Anyway, Steve slumps his way home and gets attacked by... I'm literally not sure what they're supposed to be since they spent all their money on Steve's contacts and firecrackers. So I think those are the worm costumes from Kabuto? Hold on. Kabuto, but I can't tell. It looks like they dyed them red, so that's something, I guess. They shooter Hail Hydra and Steve, who is an idiot, nearly gets himself killed trying to hit them with a garbage can... Not a lid, the garbage can, so these tiny kids behind him can escape. Yep, I, 1,000,000,000% believe little kindergartners in Brooklyn wear their stereotypical kindergartner smocks and hats from Japan, and saved only by the super cool chicken. I'm not sure what she's wearing, but if I was 20 years old and 100 pounds, I would buy every fucking stitch she's wearing. She's got great curls, too. She beats the shit out of them, and you can actually sort of see Steve fall in love a little, because he likes brunettes, you can tell.
What?!
She turns around and looks at him hard, and then she says he ought to go home. He gets mad because she's a girl? No, wait, because he's an idiot. But then he is like, behind you, and hits a Hail Hydra over the head with the garbage can lid, and it does something, and turns into some white dude who then kind of shrinks and dies? That's the weirdest thing I've seen in the Kamen Rider series, dudes. Anyway, then the girl and Steve stare at each other intently, and from behind him, this guy says, Steve Rogers, I've been looking for you. Steve turns around. Ending starts. Okay, more don't know, but I tell you right now, if you thought the opening was gay as hell, the ending is basically like the boys love version of the Sailor Moon ending where Usagi and Mamoru walk around on water as a past selves and like cling to each other. The cat is never going to talk to me again. Well, until I give him half this roast turkey out of my sandwich at least.
And this is part one of something?
The Vodka Tuesday Theater series.
It's not happening.
It's the only part.
Not fucking
it
happening.
It is the only part.
That not was fucking amazing.
I'm actually just impressive that you managed to navigate around the ED and the OP and the, you know, Steve turns around, erectile dysfunction starts.
Alright, hey Temsu, are you reading?
Not this moment.
Would you like to read?
Sure.
Alright there, read Animorphs. Also, I don't know if I think we're doing a lot of not safe for work ones, but I'll see if I can find a safe for work one for you. I'll try.
He's out of the call, so he couldn't hear you.
Oh, well, no, he's here.
Now he's in the call.
Whatever.
He's in, he's out, back and forth, back and forth.
I keep disconnecting.
Okay. And back and forth, and back and forth, and back and forth.
All right, Animorphs!
Forever.
Up and down, up and down.
Solid as a rock.
Oh, yeah, Animorphs.
By King Alan I. Summary. Rachel reads a romance novel, and it gives her ideas to do something with Tobias.
I assume you're talking about me, right?
Rachel picked up her borrowed copy of Solid as a Rock. Apparently, Lucy Pillar knew how to get her groove on. Jane Smith had some sense of subtlety in not calling it rock hard or something like that. Rachel flipped to a random page and began reading. He pulled at my bra, not realizing one of the hooks wasn't quite undone, and I heard a seam tearing. Do men not understand how much these things cost? I like showing off my tits, but I also had to put them back later. Ha ha, this is gold, Rachel said.
They are really expensive.
Fiction often didn't address those kinds of practical concerns.
Or
it reminded her of Jake and Marco having discussions about the economic damage in superhero movies. Her mom, ever the lawyer, pointed out that the involvement of Asgardians would make the destruction acts of God, so insurance companies would be unlikely to pay out. Chris Hemsworth was a god, Rachel thought of Thor's actor. It seemed quite fair to consider that. After all, Marco and boys like him drooled over Scarlett Johansson. Maybe her ass, as well as her ass kicking, had to do with why he called her Black Widow. Marco wasn't as cute as he thought he was. He was also too goofy for her. There was a certain quiet boy she cared for very deeply.
Rachel got to thinking. I am not invested in this.
Rachel got to thinking that having her lover undress her was a very good idea. That is, if he could do it right, and she did rely on Tobias. She took her shirt off and called him in. Could you help me finish getting this off and then lick me clean, she asked, not even pretending to be sad.
Okay.
Wait, right. Is this human Tobias or Red Tail Hawk Tobias?
Was he ever not?
Huge difference.
I thought he was always Red Tail Tobias.
It was like really early in the series, but...
Yeah, and eventually... Back to normal again, sort of, but not really.
He was able to turn back into a human later on, but he was still a hawk.
Yeah. Well, let's find out. Keep reading. She wasn't sure how clearly Tobias got the message, but he understood it well enough. There was no reason to suggestively mention it to him twice. Being close to Rachel mattered most to him, and now she made it clear it was time for them to be that close. He answered silently, maybe figuring he was in no shape to speak, what with the girl he loved wanting to be naked in front of him. He grabbed each side of the clasp and pushed them together to slide the hooks out of the loops. Not bad for a boy doing this for probably the first time, and I'm going to give him plenty of practice. He pushed the shoulder straps down, probably so he could get his body even closer to hers in the process. She was very pleased to feel a bump in his pants press up against her thigh.
Oh, so he is human.
Now that her breasts were in view... Could be anthro. Now that her breasts were in view, he started licking at them like she wanted. He wasn't thinking to go in circles or suck on them, but he was returning to the nipple with each stroke, and Rachel wasn't about to spoil the moment with a critique.
Return to thy nipple! Yes! Burping sensually on nipples is my kink. Super curdoctally, sir, please keep burping on my nipple.
You've got this one all shiny. Now do the other one. She said as she lifted the breast that wasn't currently under Tobias' tongue. He was already starting to learn, she thought, as he switched his mouth to the other half of her chest. Well, this she felt. She was even more excited by this than she had expected to be. Well, my breasts are as clean as they're going to get, but my vag could use some work. He wasted no time in shifting his attention below her waist. Running his hands down her sides was gratuitous with regards to getting her jeans off, but they both found this aspect of the physical connection quite worthwhile. they boy had, had the, what?
Yes, you just jumped.
Don't worry about it. You had it.
They
right.
fucked up.
They boy had proved he could work a bra clasp, so obviously he could undo a zipper.
Obviously.
I know,
man. Those things are complicated.
One would when he went that. To pull the denim down, his fingers hooked around the waistband of her panties, too, so he got them both off. He ran his fingers through her hair. Mom thought I was too young to get wet, so imagine how she'd freak about this.
Oh, that is not a voice I want to hear saying that. Not at all.
One of the few clear thoughts she was having at the moment. Rather than it to be clenched or already wet, Tobias asked.
They're both what?
Was he really that clueless or was he playing along, Rachel mused. Did he know perfectly well what my body was doing because I wanted him? He did between her legs what he'd done on her chest, just that she was even more sensitive down there. With him bent down in front of her, she threw her head back. Even prettier than you usually are when you're supposed to.
You don't sound
hair.
Like Meat Log.
Meat Log.
You sound like fucking Peter Lorre from Casablanca.
Log, get the honeys, G.
We found better uses for your tongue, she answered raggedly. And he took the hint to get back to what he was doing. She tingled when he found her clit by chance.
Precious, please stop licking my leg. This is making me really uncomfortable.
I was getting lost.
No, I was thinking way too much about tingle.
Tingle, tingle, kulalupa!
How did you get here?
Buku, buku. Tingle, tingle, kulalupa!
Would you like a map?
His schlong must be exploding by now, she realized. I want to return the favor, she announced. Lie down in the bed and take off your
this
clothes.
This is my favorite actor pairing ever, especially for dead actors. Peter Lorre and Vincent Price. This is so hot.
He hurriedly did that while she kicked her pants and underwear off her ankles, sliding out of her shoes in the process. He was more sitting against the pillows on the back wall of the bunk, but one part of him was definitely standing up. His dick had grown long enough that the foreskin had almost totally retracted, and the veins in the shaft were bulging.
Okay, now I feel like this is a nature special narrated by Richard Attenborough.
She would tease the tip when they had more time. Rachel swallowed Tobias as whole as she could, and he came almost instantly. She didn't flinch, being quite glad to dispose of this evidence. Animorphs had done far grosser things, she mused.
Like transform into an elephant. A male elephant. Oh, here we go.
Oh, the ending of Freddy Got Fingered. No!
You made me feel so good, and you looked so happy during that, Rachel observed.
Daddy, would you like some sausages?
I took care of the few people who take care of me, especially your Black Widow, Tobias answered.
What? You're a natural talent, Hawkeye, Rachel said, still glowing. And I'll make sure you become experienced. The practice will be very fun for both of us, she added with a wicked grin.
Yeah, okay. All right. That was good. You know what, Val? I picked out a special one for you because we watched this movie together. We both really liked it, and I kind of want to ruin it for both of us. So I found
some, oh, no.
I found some Kingsman fanfic.
Yes!
Oh, no!
Oh, yes.
Yes!
It's called Take and Give, and the summary is Harry's happy to let Eggsy take what he wants.
Oh, boy.
Kingsman, the Secret Service?
Fuck yeah!
Yes!
That's such an ambiguous summary.
two fucking words!
Oh yeah, we got cock rings. Wait, this is apparently part 7
of something. I don't know. Are you good to read, honey? Val?
What?
It's your turn.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was screening for a new fix.
No, I got one for you. Fix.
Is it the one that's just got linked?
Yes.
Yes.
And you totally missed. I want to ruin something we both like.
Oh my god. It's literally 7, like, mini fics of Harry and Eggsy.
Well, duh. Yep. Okay. Well, obviously, I was gonna say spoilers. I mean, Harry and Eggsy ain't gonna be doing much together now, are they?
Vendiff. What the hell is?
I've never watched Kingsman, so that's kind of a spoiler.
Haven't seen it yet either.
All right, Harry's happy to let Eggsy take what he wants. Notes from a 3-word prom on Tumblr. Oh, do you?
Fucking Tumblr.
The conversation with Divine Project Zero about Harry Hart and sex toys that lead, amongst other things, to me illuminating her to the wonders of vibrating cock rings.
Oh boy!
Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
All in one go, and really, this is just a straight up shot of filthy Hart twin smut. Enjoy!
I will.
Fuck! Eggsy whines, the consonant hard on his tongue. He circles his hips, grinds down into Harry, takes what he wants as he bounces on Harry's cock. He's quite a sight to behold, flushed, a pretty pink from his cheeks to his chest, nipples pert and lips swollen, slick with a wet sheen of sweat.
You say flushed? You say pretty pink from his cheeks to his chest, so I just imagine he looks like a Magikarp.
Yes, totally.
Garp, garp, let me suck your dick.
He's happy to let him do the work, take what he wants to watch Eggsy work himself to a slow burning orgasm and then ride the waves of it himself when Eggsy's body clutches his cock like it still can't get enough. But they aren't quite there yet. Eggsy can still form words, though his mouth is a slack red circle, drops open in a wordless moan as he shifts the angle and the head of Harry's cock begin to rub harder against his prostate. The muscles in his thighs jump and twitch, and Harry smooths his hand down them, rests his hands on Eggsy's hips. Eggsy, yeah. It's a bit hard to say.
Eggsy.
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 Yeah, it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Try saying that 5 times fast.
Nice picture. Alright, just anchoring them there, by no means making an attempt at controlling Eggsy's movements. He watches mesmerized as his cock disappears again and again into Eggsy's body, swallowed in the heat of him. His cock's deep red nearly matches Eggsy's face, save for the black band of the cock ring around the base. There's something dark and warm that curls in Harry's stomach, watching Eggsy use him like a toy, bring himself off on the feel of being filled with Harry's cock, taking it exactly like it wants. Sometimes, like tonight, it can take what feels. I read what fouls, right, or wall feels, like hours, a maddening crescendo that leaves them both dripping with sweat and spick and spunk.
Gross.
that's another tongue twister for you guys. Sweat and spit and spunk. Worn to trembling and tangled with each other. Sometimes Eggsy pins his hands as well as his hips, rides him like he thirsts for it, like he wants to get drunk off Harry's expressions as he's fucked as much as fucking it to Eggsy, a dash toward orgasm that leaves them dizzy. Eggsy's almost there, Harry can feel it. It's in the little hitches in his breath, the way his hole is beginning to flutter. What? Okay. Fluttering a-hole.
Yeah.
And his fingers spasming when they were holding on to Harry. There's also Eggsy's predilection for babbling, which kicks in right on cue. Yep. Gonna fuck myself on your cock, he pants, licking his lips and eyeing Harry's like he's tempted to lean in for a kiss. He doesn't because of the tempo and the angle, but his eyes say enough for how much he wants it. Love the feel of it. So hard. Stuffing me full. Want you coming me. Harry, gonna come just like this. Love your cocking me. Oh, do you? Harry asks. But the wryness is lost in the fervor as he makes shallow thrusts up to meet Eggsy as he pistons down, too wrong close to coming to even arch an eyebrow. But it makes Eggsy laugh, tipping his head back to show the long line of his throat, breathless. He shoves down onto the length of Harry's cock, grinds for a while. Harry can feel the rim of his hole twitching where it rubs against the slickened silicone of the ring. Can only imagine how it feels on Eggsy's overused, sensitive hole before resuming his thrust, his grin nearly turning to grimace as he works himself for orgasm. Didn't we say that already?
They've been almost there for a really long time.
Yeah.
Like years.
They're edging.
Yeah! He groans. finds can an I angle that one more time? Because that was impresses hot cheek what, to berries at the same time.
One more time, please, because that was hot as shit.
Yeah!
Oh, Val, I knew I married you for a reason.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Everyone can do it, Steve-O.
Can you bring me a towel?
He's starting to sweat again.
We have all the laundry down there. Oh, wait,
that's,
no, we
that's
it
not
out.
Sweat.
Oh. Oh.
Don't use a towel for that.
All right.
The towel's just going to get stained.
Not if it's a white towel.
Mm. Racist!
Where Oh, yeah. He melts along Harry's jaw, moans when their lips meet, and Harry slips his tongue into Eggsy's mouth, fucks him that way, too. Ugh.
Yeah.
Close, Eggsy mumbles between kisses. Come on, Harry, give it to me. Give me! Harry slides a hand down over the swell of Eggsy's arse to where they're joined together, flicks the little switch on the cock ring that brings it to life. Eggsy keens, jerks like a circuit inside him has been completed, whines high-pitched and broken as he doubles in his pace, unable to keep the sounds from coming out of his mouth. Out his mouth. His moans nearly drown out the buzz of the vibration, but Harry can feel it down the line of his cock. Feels himself hardening impossibly further at the sensation of it. At Eggsy's renewed fervor of how he's twitching and clenching around him completely outside of his control.
Okay, that's amazing. Impossibly further. So this is some sort of eldritch horror that defies all human understanding about how hard he is becoming.
Yep.
Oh.
Adamantine.
Also, there was a bit of left-hand writing in that.
Oh, yeah. We're
like, the verb tense is like, what? The ring turns his entire cock into a vibrator, hot and thick inside Eggsy already. And it only takes a few more thrusts downward before Eggsy catches his prostate on Harry's cock again, and he's coming, moaning wanton and open-mouthed, shuddering through orgasm and rocking as best he can into it.
I don't know, I prefer to moan egg rolls.
Egg rolls.
I
was gonna say that was point number one, but point number two is that his cock turned into a vibrator, so his penis is Kirby.
Yep. Flushed even brighter than before. He jerks, wriggles, can't keep still as he rides it out, milks Harry's cock until it's nearly too much. Till he sobs when he's fully sheeted on it again.
I'm milking his cock.
No, don't eat the batteries.
Can't wait to put this in my Rice Krispies.
So wait, is it 2% or full fat?
Wait, you've not heard of that terminology before?
No!
Milking it?
Really? That's actually a little surprising.
No, I've heard of, like, milking something, but not in a sexual sense. I mean, udders do not turn me on.
It's for jerking something off.
Yeah, no, it's not that rare term, like, saying milking a cock.
It's like you're jerking
Steve-O,
off.
What would I do with you?
Moan again, and we'll find out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Let me finish that. I only got, like, 5 lines or something. Sorry, that was weak. The sight of him like this is enough for Harry, who has to snap the ring free with shaking fingers before he can come, plunge deep in Eggsy's arse, and wrapped up in the dizzying tightness of him, the rippling clutch of him as Eggsy's orgasm comes in waves. They stay like that, flush together, come dripping down Harry's chest and Eggsy's thighs, until Eggsy can pick his head up from where it's fallen against Harry's shoulder. Boop! And give him a half-lidded smirk and a thumbs up. Who? Why is thumbing up after sex?
Because he's Buddy Christ.
Fuck yes, he murmurs, warm and loose limb with pleasure. He circles his hips one last time to hear Harry's breath hitch. Harry knows Eggsy's brand of teasing by now. And there's an obscene wet sound that makes Eggsy grin all the wider. I do love it. God, Harry. Harry pets the damp nape of Eggsy's neck and manages a quick quirk, a smile with the dregs of his energy, even adding a raised eyebrow to. You know, I did get that impression.
Is it bad if this entire time I've just been imagining Harry Potter fucking Humpty Dumpty?
Also,
yes, it is.
Hi there. Thanks for listening to Friday Night Fanfiction. Be sure to check out FridayNightFanfiction.com, where you can sign up to be a guest on the show, submit fanfictions for us to read, and join our Discord server to hang out with us. All backing music used in Friday Night Fanfiction is available via Overclocked Remix at ocremix.org. Be sure to check them out for over 3,000 fan arrangements and 60 fan arrangement albums of free video game music. Ending credits music, Koopa Nova by Diodes. Opening musical credits, Deforestation by Thunder Thoen, and Castlemania 2010 by Ben Briggs. We hope you enjoyed listening to this, and we'll catch you next episode.